We desire your prayers for the Lord to bless his word again. We want to thank the Lord for every time he has. The Lord has been good. And we acknowledge him in it all. For the past number of weeks, we've had a burden concerning a healthy, successful body of Christ in the earth. And it seems as though sometimes it may be a little bit haphazard, sometimes a little bit backwards. But he continues to give us thoughts concerning a healthy Church of God. So this morning we would like to continue that theme, if you will. And we desire your prayers that the Lord will bless. This particular thought, once again, is larger than what we can give today. So, to lay a foundation for possibly the next few messages, we'll find the scripture in 1 Timothy 3, the first part of verse 14 and verse 15. And it says, "These things write I unto thee, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Very powerful scripture there. But our burden now for some time will probably be hinged on this passage right here of how for you and me to behave ourselves in the church of the living God. I'm very thankful that, and I know you are too, that we are serving a living God. We are serving a God that has ears and eyes. He has a mind. He has nostrils. Why is it important that he have nostrils? Why is it important for us? You and I are able to smell with our nose. God has a nose. And he loves to come and smell in our assembly. The scripture says that. He likes the sweet smell. He calls it a sweet incense. This is one of the things that you and I play a part in. If the building were empty, there would be no smell. If you and I decided, well, I can do this at home. I'm able to read my Bible and I'm able to worship the Lord at home. You better be worshiping the Lord at home. But you better also see the great need and have the desire to come and assemble together. Because he loves what comes out of that. And it gets his attention. We have a song in our book that speaks about prayer being as a sweet incense. Your prayers at home must also have a sweet smell. But as you come into the assembly and meet with the people of God, for us to be a healthy, successful body of Christ in the earth, we need to mingle our prayers together as we come in an assembly. When you and I get down to pray, there's more to this morning than just prayer, but I want to mention this. It comes to my mind this way. How important it is that when we get down to pray that we not fall asleep. If we're tired, many times we can doze off. That's reality. It's very important for us to listen to that person, that one that is praying. Hear what they're saying. Be in agreement with that. I would like to encourage us all to become a little bit more vocal in our agreement. I believe the Lord is pleased with that. So I'm going to encourage us to exercise ourselves during prayer. Because remember, there is a sweet smell that is coming up before the Lord that attracts His attention to our assembly, our little service. Serving the living God. This is the church of the living God. It referred to it as the pillar and ground for the truth. God has ordered. He has ordained the method in which we conduct our services. God has ordained it to be led by the Holy Spirit. We are not a man-made organization. We do not have man rule. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that this morning God knows what your need is individually, and He fills that need through the preached word and by the Holy Spirit? Thank the Lord. Maybe it won't be the entire message, but there will be something that the Holy Spirit will direct to your heart, and that's your food. So you have to pay attention and listen and look for it. But that's how God has ordained it. It's a perfect plan if we as human beings don't get in the way. Thank the Lord. I had this thought of our God-given rights. Do we have God-given rights? I would say we do. If He has ordained this, then you and I have some expectations that are rights. We have the right to come to the services and expect the truth to be preached. That's a God-given right. It is a God-given right to expect those that stand before us to be an example of the truth. It's a God-given right. You can expect it because it's God-given. It's ordained. We have a God-given right for that one that stands before us to be filled with the Spirit. That's a God-given right. So when you come, you can have that expectation. It is God-given. Those were some of the thoughts that we had as a little introduction. Would like to speak to us now with a number of scriptures. We plan to read them in order. And part of them will be phrases from scriptures to catch our attention, so that we're not lost in some extra words in there. Congregation knows I sort of do that. The first scripture is Psalms 122 and 1. And David said this. He said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Are you glad when Sunday morning comes? When it's time for me to say, it's time to go to the house of the Lord? Or is there a weariness? Or do we sometimes think, oh, if I just didn't have to go to church this morning, then maybe I could sleep in? You've heard me tell this before. number of years ago, Lauren was working nights, and I came. He worked on Sunday night, and on Sunday night, KTOK would have old time radio, and they would play it until midnight, and I liked that. And so I would hurry home from church and get dressed for bed and lay in the bed and turn it on and listen to it till midnight. I liked it. Enjoyed it. And one night the Lord caused me to hear a story on that old time radio that opened my eyes. I confess to you that I could never listen to it again. The story was that they all had their little central themes and plans and their story. And the young man that was in the story, it was a Sunday morning and he wanted to go play tennis and he wanted to use the car, but he was afraid to back the car out of the garage or out of the drive because it would awaken his father who was sleeping late on Sunday morning. And it was the only morning of the week that he could sleep late because he worked 6 days a week. As this story unfolded, it was as though the Lord pulled back a curtain and gave me a vision of our whole society and culture and nation. And the influence of underlining messages that started with old-time radio. It progressed to a greater entertainments, the television and so forth. But the Lord showed me by this one little story how that seeds were planted in people's minds. It's okay to sleep late on Sunday morning. It's okay to go play tennis on Sunday morning. Nothing was mentioned in it. We better go to church first. Nothing was said about God at all. That message went out, and our nation has been affected by underlying messages like that and seeds that were planted. And so now to even mention an old-time radio show or program is almost silly in the eyes of the world. And for me to even repeat this to someone out there, that it would be scoffed at. Because we have come how many generations, 3 generations now, maybe 4, since that all took place. And we have the result of it that we can look at, observe. We can see the impact that our nation has been affected by underlying messages such as that. In our subconscious mind. But you and I, maybe we have been raised. Maybe we went to church every Sunday when we were growing up. How many did that too? And where are they today? You and I will have to have a love for the house of God. We'll have to feel what David said. I was glad when they said unto me, it's time for church. It's time to go. I said just a little bit ago, speaking about our prayer life, our worship of the Lord, we better be doing those things in our private life, in our homes, because we better also be able to bring some of that and come and sit together in heavenly places and mingle our voices in song, mingle our voices in prayer, and then hear from the Word of God. And we have some more scripture. David also said in Psalms 27 and verse 4, and I'm going to paraphrase some of this for the sake of time. He said, there's one thing that I have desired of the Lord. And he said, I am going to seek after it. And one of those things is, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord. I want something that makes me feel at home. Do you feel at home when you come to the little congregation? Is this your home congregation? Wherever your home congregation is, we need to have a desire. We need to seek for it. Did you know there's a certain amount of loyalty should be to a home? Shouldn't a family feel loyalty to their home? I believe the Lord desires that we feel a loyalty to our home congregation. That's not saying you can't go visit. By any means, we would never be a lord over you and say you have to be here every time. That's not it. But I want to dwell in the house of the Lord, and I desire it, and I'm going to seek for it. Then he said, David said, I want to behold his beauty. What is the beauty of the Lord? There's many areas that I can behold the beauty of the Lord, not only in my private life, but when I come to service. When I come to service and mingle with my brothers and my sisters, with the children of God, with the saints of God, did you know I'm going to behold his beauty in you? He wants us to behold his beauty in each other. I'm thinking about Ron's testimony. Were you able to behold some beauty in that testimony? What if you had missed it? You see, we were able to behold the beauty of the Lord by seeing how God worked with him this last week. And anyone else that has a testimony, see, we are able to behold his beauty. Well, David also, he said, another thing that I really desire of the Lord, and another thing that I'm going to seek after, is this. I want to inquire in his temple. I want to come and I want to seek after him. And so many scripture tell us what will happen when we seek after him with our whole heart. He says, you will find me. You know, if it was just, and I don't want to put this in a box where everybody's going to feel guilty if something happens and I'm not able to be at service. I'm not trying to do that at all. This is just the general teachings of the Word of God, and we need to follow it as much as we can. But if I am infirmed, if I am afflicted, if I am sick, if I come to the age where I'm not able to get up and go to church, I know God can keep me. He's promised that he would. If I live in an isolated place and there is no place for me to attend the services of the saints or of the church of God, then I know he's able to keep me. But if I am in driving distance of a congregation, I believe that the Lord is pleased for me to put forth the effort to have a love for the church of God, to have a love for the house of God, to have a love for his services, and to have this desire. I want to dwell, I want to behold his beauty, and I want to inquire. I want to ask some questions. Don't mean to put Paul on the spot this morning. He's been coming here for about a year. He's had some questions. That's okay. That's what we do. We come, and if we don't understand, we ask. And by the way, Paul, we're still going to do some more. We're not through. So this is what we do. This is what David said. You and I need to have a real reverence for coming and a desire. You've heard it said many, many times. I've said it specifically of Wednesday night. Don't we all come sometimes and we're just weary and we're tired? But we put forth the effort and we feel better when we leave than when we came. That's what the Lord does. He's going to honor our desire. He's going to honor our seeking after it. Isaiah 4:2. Now, this one's going to be sort of broken up. So if you're reading it, you're going to find some dot, dot, dots in there. Because I have it written down like I want to read it. And many shall say, come, let us go to the house of God, and he will teach us his ways, for the law will go forth. Says out of Judah, I think. I don't believe we're doing damage to the scripture at all to say that the law goes forth out of the church of God. You and I come here, we lay aside all of the cares of life, we lay aside our jobs, we lay aside the duties at home, we lay aside all of the thoughts of tomorrow, don't we? We must. We have to get something out of it. You have to physically and discipline yourself to not let all of the things that you might be facing next week, all of the burdens that you have had this past week, you have to lay those things aside to be able to come in and be able to hear. And the Lord said, Jesus said a number of times, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. If you want something out of the service, you can get it. Another scripture says to hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you will be filled. I believe that that hunger and thirst is throughout our life. I believe that it's in our private devotions, in our worship at home, but I believe that it's also here. I believe when you and I come and we are hungry for the Word of God. Didn't David also say in the 23rd Psalms, thou preparest a table before me? He said there it was in the presence of his enemies. Did you know there's an enemy here this morning? If your eyes were open to mine, to the spiritual world, the air, we can't see past the literal vision that we have, but the very air here is peopled with opposing spirits. Why do I know that? Because there are spirits that wants to distract. It wants to get our mind off of what is being said or the Word of God or anything to hinder me from really getting a hold of something that will help me this week. So that's why I know there is an enemy, and the Lord has prepared a table in the very presence of distracting spirits. Be aware of distracting spirits. Something that distracts your thoughts, pulls it away. Going tomorrow, Lord help us. Remember, we don't have a promise of tomorrow. Okay, Zechariah 8:21. And again, this is a part of it. I have it written down here like I want to read it. When I do this, you do understand I am not taking out the meat. I am leaving the meat. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, Zechariah 8:21, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord. The inhabitants of one city will say to somebody else, I see that as the saints encouraging one another, be in service. Don't neglect, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Discipline yourself. When the doors are open, I will be there. I will do my part. I will fill my place. I will bring. And this is a whole nother message I'm sort of suggesting right now. And that's for a later time. But it says for us to bring. If one has a song or a song. See, we all play a part. I love when somebody calls a song. I don't just take it for granted that, well, who was that that called a song? I don't know how many times Lauren might not recognize the voice that called a song. We start singing a song and he'll lean over and he'll say, who called that? Do you know why? Because we feel that when we call a song, it's for a reason. That song has had to be anointed to my heart and it has to speak. Oh, listen, I don't want to get into that because that's a whole nother message and I do have a message on that. But when you and I come, let us come loving the services of the Lord, loving the house of God. So the inhabitants of one city were saying to one another, let us go speedily to pray. Let's take time to pray. Now I would like to speak to you a little bit about zeal. It's very important for us to have the zeal of the Lord. I found this definition in the Cruden's, in the, not the commentary, Concordance. And it says that it's a mixture of passion. A zeal is a mixture of passion. It can be grief and anger. And I hadn't thought of it in that way at all. Or it can be a fervent love and desire. I think we're a little more familiar with having a fervent love and a fervent desire. We associate that a little bit more with the word zeal. I want to read one statement that was printed in that definition. What a man loves earnestly, he is careful to see it honored and grieved when it is dishonored. I'm going to read it again. I want us to get a hold of it. When a man loves earnestly, he is careful to see it honored and grieved when it is dishonored. Now, we're still talking about a healthy, successful body of Christ in the earth. My loyalty, my zeal for the body of Christ, for the church of God. Psalms 119 and 139. It says, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Now, where does that zeal apply to the definitions? It would fall under the part of grief and anger. It is not the kind of anger that I sin. The scripture says, be ye angry and sin not. There is an anger, a righteous anger, that you and I might experience and feel as we see the church of God being dishonored. Do you feel something when that happens? Does your zeal cause you to resent when someone downplays the church of God in the earth? It hurts us, does it not? Do you not feel something in your heart that is a pain in your heart when you see people that are not willing to honor God and honor His people and honor the truth and honor His body in the earth? When there is dishonor, there is something that affects us. That's still part of your zeal. There have been writers, and we didn't have the time to read them all, but you'll find them when you look them up. But over in the New Testament, there's many places where they'll say, the writer will say, "I want to stir up your pure minds." And another place it says, "And I want to stir up the gift that is in you." You know what that is? That's somebody trying to remember how we brought out in some of the messages on this particular topic about goads and nails, and how that a goad was a stick that caused them to urge them on and challenge them. And see, that's that kind of a goad. I want to stir up the gift that you have within you. Remember the messages that we've been preaching on gifts and coveting earnestly the best gifts? Well, in this, to have a zeal in the church of God, in the congregation, in the services, sometimes we need to be sort of goaded, pushed a little bit. I want to stir up that gift that is in you. And Paul said that. I want to stir up that gift that is in you. I want you to have a zeal. I want your zeal to be revived and renewed. And do you need your zeal renewed? Do I? Do we at times need to be revived and renewed? If we didn't, if David had never said those things, I would think something was wrong with me. I would maybe even think something's wrong with you. Because we all look at one another and we see each other sort of slipping back. And then we'll see catching hold again. Have you ever done that? Have you had to be revived and renewed and revisited? I have. I think we all have. That's life. You and I need the love for His church to be renewed from time to time. We need this zeal. We need to have a care when we see somebody running it into the dirt. We need to have a care, see? 2 Corinthians 7 and 11. There's quite a category of things there. And I understand what that passage is talking about. It's speaking about the kind of prayer that is a prayer of repentance. But I would like to use those adjectives, if you will, to connect them with our zeal this morning. And it uses the word, "Oh, what carefulness." Did you know that you have to take care of yourself and your soul? You are the only one that is going to answer for your soul, and you're the only one that can care for it, that should be cared for. And you've got to stay on top of it. In other words, I've got to be sensitive. I've got to be aware of how my soul is faring, if you will. Is my soul, is it quite as zealous as it once was? Is it sort of getting a little bit dry? He said He wants to bring us out into a moist place. He wants our soul to be alive and well. And so the scripture here says, oh, what carefulness. I've got to care for my soul. Then he said, oh, what clearing of yourselves. I want to tell you, God is so good. He is so good to you. We sang that song today. Maybe it's a little bit monotonous with repetition throughout the chorus. But I want to tell you, he is good to us. Why do I say that? Because he will hear us when we pray. If we have made a mistake, if we have failed, he will forgive. That's how we all keep saved. It's not us. I can't help but see it every day. That's not what it is. It's our humanity. And if I will watch and pray, he'll show me my blunders, my mistakes, and then I can clear myself. Thank the Lord. Oh, what indignation. Oh, what fear. Oh, what vehement desire. I see these as things that can be linked up to zeal. Fear. Does fear play a part in our zeal? I believe it does. To fear to displease the Lord. To fear God. This is not a paralyzing fear. This is a deep respect and honor for God that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Thank the Lord. So, oh, what fear. Oh, what vehement desire. And then it says, oh, what zeal. So I think that this is a little category of adjectives that we can mix in with the definitions for fear. I mean, for zeal, excuse me. Now I would like to turn to Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter. I want to give you a little picture there of the kind of love that you and I really need for the Church of God, for the body of Christ in the earth. This is some of the laws that was given to the children of Israel, and it had to do with them, with their servitude, with them being a servant. And if they were bought as a Hebrew, they had to serve a certain number of years, but at the end of that time, they were to be set free, and they were to be given something to go out. If they brought a wife in with them, they took the wife with them when they left. If they married a wife under that master, then they left their wife and their children. That was just the law. But I